then they could basically go after that client. And the appellate court ruled that it was unreasonable to restrict defendants from soliciting plaintiff's prospective clients unknown to the defendants. So in other words, they said, how could you prohibit somebody from soliciting clients that they didn't even know were your clients? Instead, the court ruled that it would only be reasonable to restrict a former employee from soliciting a prospective client if the employee gained knowledge of that client through his or her employment. And I'm assuming they mean his or her employment with ADP. Finally, the court ruled that it was reasonable to restrict defendants from working for a competing business in the same geographic territory that each defendant worked in for ADP. Now, that has come up many times, is what is the geographic area? In other words, can't say that somebody would be restricted from working anywhere in the United States, because obviously that would mean, for most of us, would think that's involuntary servitude if you decide to leave the company and can't work anywhere. So it has to be reasonable. And as I
Good morning and welcome to your seat at the table. This is Janice Kovach. It is just me here today, so I'm going to be talking about a couple of different things and stuff that impact your municipalities as well as your local government and county and state government. But of course, it's time. We just got to get started right away with a commercial, so give me a second and I will be back.
Physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, and today's weather, mostly sunny, plenty of sunshine, high 87, winds west-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour, high of 87, and tonight will be partly cloudy, a low of 68 with winds light and variable. All right, hold on 1 second, and then we will be back. Welcome back. Facebook is not working for me for some reason today, so we are just going to have an audio, which is probably a good thing because, you know, it's hair and everything is all over the place. Anyway, my name is Janice Kovach. I am the mayor for the town of Clinton, and I've been serving as mayor for the last 8 years. Normally, I have one of my councilwomen here, Riley Karsh, and what we try to do is break down topics, and whether it be legislation, ordinances, or just discussions that happen within your community, and make it so that it's you can understand it and what that impact is to you. We've had a couple of interesting conversations already since we started the show with discussing the opioid crisis as well as also water utilities and authorities and the impact of legislation on allowing to sell its water utility or authority to a private entity. Today, just talking a little bit about how our budgets work. You know, it's one of those things, everyone makes the assumption that the taxes that are collected by the municipality, everything stays with the municipality. But in reality, we collect the taxes for both the local school, the regional school, as well as the county, and if you have any open space or library taxes or a fire district, that's all collected and then dispersed out. And I was reminded over the weekend as I was having a conversation with a resident about property taxes. So in the town of Clinton, 25% of your tax bill actually stays in the town of Clinton. The remainder, 60% goes to the schools, and another 15% goes to the county. So with that, the idea of consolidations, and I'm going to get on my little soapbox here right now. You know, there's a lot of discussion about consolidation of municipalities. New Jersey does have 565 municipalities, but it's the school districts that actually are the larger percentage of your tax bill, and there are about 600 school districts within the state as well. And before anyone gets concerned, I'm not talking about consolidating buildings. I'm really just talking about consolidation of administration. There's a lot of shared services that go on amongst the schools right now. In the town of Clinton, we bring in students from Glen Gardner come into the town of Clinton because it's more cost effective for the town of Glen Gardner to send its students to Clinton Public than for them to maintain a school system on their own. That happens with a lot of other schools as well, where the schools will be coming in, you know, they'll bus their students into another school. And it is up to the individual communities. You know, it's the joy of home rule within New Jersey is that you can have that say in how your government, how your school district is managed. As far as municipalities go, there's quite a bit of shared services that go on between communities as well as within the community itself. You know, I'll use the town of Clinton as always as my example. The town has a sewer utility, a water utility, and as well as our public service, our public works group, and all of those individuals are cross-trained so that if there is a water main break, our public works roads guys can go and assist with the water department. When snow's around, there's a lot of everyone comes out to do the plowing. It's not specific to just the road crew, but both the water and sewer guys will also come out and assist in covering that. So there's shared services, shared cost savings that take place when you're able to utilize and cross-train your employees to provide a service. The town budgets are not as flexible as many people would think. We don't use general accounting procedures when we're doing our budgets. Most of our budgets are managed through a statute. As far as what the state requires, we either carry or provide in the way of insurance and benefits to employees. So when you're really going and looking at your town budgets, it's not there's not usually a lot of room to play with. We try to work as lean as possible, understanding that costs continue to go up. And from my personal perspective, and I know I've talked to a number of other mayors as well, when you're dealing with flat budgets consistently and or reduction in budget, at some point in time, that does come back. So you may have a short-term gain in by maintaining a flat budget or keeping something or cutting a service. But if you need to go and put something back into the budget, you're not able to do it. We are capped at a 2%. Our budgets, we must maintain a 2% cap on our budgets. Some of those items, you know, fall outside this cap, but not very many. And again, when we're dealing with services that are maintained by the town, there are costs that are incurred and that have an impact on, you know, the overall tax bill. With that, you know, we do try to ensure each budget season that an increase is a minimal increase if there need, you know, when there needs to be one, and use what we can to pay down debt so that we are getting our debt service paid off in a 10-year period rather than going out to long-term permanent financing, which obviously winds up costing taxpayers even more in the long run when we have to, you know, purchase trucks for the fire department, for the rescue squad, or for the police department. We try to do it in such a way that we can pay them off in a shorter period of time. And then this way, it's not, the interest is not charged at such an exorbitant amount. You know, it's kind of like when you get your credit card bill, you pay the minimum amount, you'll be paying it over 20 to 30 years. and multiple times what the balance actually is. We try to ensure that we do it in a smart way and focus on paying down our debt within the 5 to 10 year period of time, depending on what it is that we're incurring. So those are the things that we focus on. I'm going to try and stay on schedule here, so I am going to do the commercial breaks that we have. So I will be back.
WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? Mommy Hunterdon is the local affiliate for MAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer family to family, a 12-week course for families have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Mommy Hunter at 908-204-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. Mommy Hunter, the voice for mental health in Hamilton County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we are back. A continued discussion about a multitude of issues, but talking a little bit about the budget right now and helping residents understand, you know, how the budget breakdown happens, where the money goes, what are the services that are provided. You know, obviously I can speak to the services that are provided in the town of Clinton. I can't speak to all of them. But for those of us that have police departments, that is also another significant piece of our budget and something that is important for each of us to ensure that we have. For those of us that do have police departments, you know, a town like Clinton that has a small downtown and we're off major highways, having our own police department to be able to respond, I think, is an important piece of a service that we provide to our residents, as well as, you know, to some of the surrounding communities. We have some great mutual aid agreements, and they all work together. Same thing with our emergency services, both fire and EMS. The EMS provides daytime coverage for surrounding municipalities and also shared services and municipal aid agreements, as well as the volunteer fire. So, and of all of the services, it's important to note that we could not have these services as majority volunteer organizations without the support of the residents and community members that give their time and provide the services and make sure that they have the training. So taking away from their own family time and calls to be able to give back to their community. So for that, you know, we're forever grateful. And as part of, you know, the town, we try to provide assistance financially however we can, and that may be in, you know, assisting with the purchase of a truck, as well as providing some additional aid throughout the year to those organizations. The 60% of the town tax bill or the municipal tax bill that goes to the schools, it's split between both the Clinton Public School as well as the regional high school So those services are provided through the schools. And for those that may or may not know, the municipal government does not have oversight of either the local school or the regional school. Those are managed by their school boards. And we are lucky enough to have a great working relationship with Clinton Public School. We try to make sure that we're communicating with them as well as, and they're communicating with us on whatever happens to be going on, either at the school, when it's budget season. We also make sure that we're, you know, mutually aware of issues or changes to the budget that, you know, will have an impact to the taxpayers. And then obviously the 15% that is provided to the county and the services that the county provides to each municipality in Hunterdon County. So for those of you that may or may not know, Hunterdon County has 26 municipalities, and the county provides services through their county roads, engineering, land use, as well as the county sheriff's department. Those are all of the things that, or some of the things that the county does provide. Obviously, those of us that have kids in the school system, we have the ability to have our kids have an amazing education. A couple of other points just to highlight, and this is something that I try to do every year when we're doing the budget, is I put together a budget letter. And what that does is explains what's going on in the budget for the year, where the increase may or may not be, if there is an increase, and, you know, what debt we may be paying down, what projects may be coming up, because it's important to note that you should have a plan in place for infrastructure improvement and maintenance. You know, we all know that water mains will invariably break either the coldest night of the year, on a holiday, on a weekend, and we have to bring staff in at, you know, time and a half. If we at least have a process in place to ensure that all of our infrastructure is maintained, and, you know, we're doing replacement of pipe each year and water main projects, same thing with the sewer service area and roads. You know, we try to tie all of those pieces together so that there's an understanding that if we're going to we need to do a road repair, you know, we decide we're going to mill and pave, we'll take a look to see what the infrastructure is under the ground to make the determination of whether or not that needs to be part of the project, and we can upgrade water lines while we're doing that. You know, it doesn't always happen that we need to replace water mains or sewer lines at that time, but that's our opportunity when we're doing the milling and paving of a road, that we're able to get that work done and focus on what's important in maintaining all of that infrastructure. We try to keep a rolling 5-year asset management plan so that every year we're updating it with projects that need to be done based on analysis of water mains or roads, and there's not a surprise other than, you know, the water main break that may happen at some point in time. But we try to ensure that, you know, lines are maintained in such a way that it's much more cost effective, because obviously maintenance is cheaper than repair in the long run. So that's, you know, how we do our stuff. Same thing with paying down debt. Much of our infrastructure projects for water and sewer have been financed through what used to be called the New Jersey EIT loans, Environmental Infrastructure Trust, and now they're called New Jersey iBank. And we're able to get some low interest and some no interest money in order to provide the repairs or the services that need to be done, which obviously is always good for the residents as well, because we're able to keep those costs down, and then we finance them over an extended period of time, which at the lower interest rate is obviously much cheaper. So with that, I want to talk a little bit about the next couple of weeks coming up. You know, this has been kind of a kickoff of the radio program for us. We're trying to understand what people want to hear about, what people want to talk about, and what impacts you and your community, how it's handled. You know, if you have questions, concerns, we've talked about affordable housing, but there's a lot of other things that have happened beyond our borders. And what I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to bring in some experts to talk about, you know, how do you handle active shooters? In the world of social media, there's always the information that's put out. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not, but it can cause panic and chaos. So what I'm hoping that we can do over the next couple of weeks is bring in a couple of individuals that can talk to us about how our law enforcement are trained to handle any of these situations. Because as much as I'd love to say that'll never happen here, I also am a realist in understanding that it could potentially. And the more information we have, the better educated we are, the better prepared we are, will make it that much easier on law enforcement to manage a situation. So over the next couple of weeks, like I said, we'll be bringing in a couple of experts. I'm going to bring in someone from a police department. I'm hoping to bring in someone from the prosecutor's office and a couple of individuals who understand who do the training and can help us understand, you know, what role we play, one as elected officials and two as residents. You know, what should we expect? I know that there's always tests that are done at the schools. They practice lockdown and evacuation, which unfortunately is something that our kids are experiencing now. But again, I'd much rather have my kids prepared and understanding how to protect themselves and others around them than to be in a state of panic. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, we will continue to talk about legislation and how any legislation may or may not impact a community, whether or not there is going to be recreational cannabis will go on as a referendum in 2020, or whether it will be a piece of legislation that we're going to have the opportunity to discuss. I'm sure that there are going to be a number of other pieces of legislation as we're going through and understanding, you know, how we get impacted by it. We'll probably spend a little bit of time talking about the DEP's new C1 rules. So many of you may be aware that there was a comment period expanding the C1 designation on multiple rivers and tributaries, which impacts obviously Hunterdon County, and what that's going to mean to us as a community, to our redevelopment areas, to our affordable housing obligations, and to individual homeowners. DEP is expecting those rules will be out sometime in the fall. So as we're made aware of what's happening and how they're impacted, I'm going to make sure that I get that out to all of you, because it's, if we're not understanding, and again, you know, social media can be our best friends or our worst enemies, making sure that we're putting out accurate information and giving people the opportunity to make their own judgment calls on, you know, regardless of where you fall on any of these issues, let's all make sure we have the most accurate information and the most recent information. So with that, we're going to go to our news break, and then we will be back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
An autopsy on millionaire financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein's body has been completed after he was found dead in his Manhattan jail cell on Saturday. New York City's medical examiner says she is withholding the findings, though, pending additional information. Richard Behar is a contributing editor of investigations for Forbes magazine.
He was supposed to have been watched at least every 30 minutes by guards who turned out to be terribly overworked and understaffed.
Epstein appears to have hung himself in his cell, but his death is the subject of a number of investigations, including one by the U.S. Justice Department. No word yet on the cause of a fire that tore through an Erie, Pennsylvania 24-hour-a-day daycare center, killing five children early Sunday morning. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Okay, and we'll just do the weather again real quick. Mostly sunny today, high of 86. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of 68. Winds light and variable. Tomorrow, Tuesday, strong storms, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, becoming more widespread and possibly severe in the afternoon. Storms could contain damaging winds, high near 80. Wind southwest, 5 to 10. Chance of rain is 90% tomorrow, so make sure you have your umbrellas and you're ready to go. Okay, with that, let's go back and talk a little bit more about local government, what our roles are, how we respond. You know, the best way for us to get information out to residents, how do you want to hear from us? Unfortunately, we aren't all able to record or do live streaming of our council meetings, but what we try to do is put out the agendas on a regular basis, and when I know that there is an issue that is of importance to residents, I'll make sure I put it out on social media. We'll send out an email blast many times, but we need to hear from residents. We need to understand what drives them, what motivates them, what their concerns are, and how we're able to best deal with it. In Clinton, we try to do town hall meetings on topics that we know will bring out people on both sides of the discussion point. We've had affordable housing town hall meetings as we were going through our settlement agreement and trying to come to a resolution with Fair Share Housing, as well as the interveners that have our property owners in our communities. And they're heated topics. They're conversations that are hard for people to have because you don't want to be dismissive and appear that you don't want to provide for housing. But at the same time, it's a matter of balancing what can a community support in the way of additional housing and the infrastructure. When Clinton was first, back in March of 2015, when we were looking at the original set of numbers that were put together by Fair Share Housing. So Fair Share Housing is a not-for-profit whose responsibility is to ensure that every community provides housing for all residents, including the affordable aspect of it. The original numbers, and I don't remember exactly, but we're somewhere around 200 new affordable units. So just to put everything into perspective, town of Clinton has just under 1,000, or probably just at 1,000 housing units right now, which includes single-family homes as well as townhomes, apartments, and condos. Adding 200, which would have been a 20% increase. Now, the way it works is a developer gets four market rate units, so four regular units for every affordable they build, which would have looked at almost 1,000 new housing units in the town of Clinton, doubling our housing population. And that was kind of a shock for many of us because there's not a lot of space left in the town of Clinton, short of going up high. Putting 1,000 new housing units in was not something that would be easily done. So it took us, you know, a little over 3.5 years to really whittle through and meet with Fair Share Housing and meet with our court-appointed expert to work through what makes sense, you know, what in reality can be built. And I think what we finally managed to come to, and yes, will there be a housing increase in the town of Clinton? Yes, there will be. You know, it's much smaller than what we had initially looked at. Overall, we'll be looking at probably around 300 new units over the next 7 years. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But it got us to where we needed to be, which was something that was within our bandwidth, which our utilities could support. And what we've tried to do is ensure that we've met a couple of different needs. So we will have some senior housing for the first time in Clinton, which is a something that residents had asked for. So we'll be able to provide for that, as well as some new townhomes, some additional apartments. And hopefully this will allow residents who want to downsize to be able to go to something smaller, and new residents coming in who are looking to get into the town of Clinton but aren't looking to purchase a huge house yet or purchase a house yet, but you know, are just getting started. This is an opportunity for them as well. And we are looking forward to working with the property owners to ensure it still has the look and feel of Clinton. You know, no one is coming in with big cinder block buildings and high rises to overwhelm the town. You know, will there be congestion? Absolutely. We already have the congestion. Clinton is an alternate route for 78 when there's an accident. Because we have old Highway 22 and Route 31 that come through the town, we are the alternate route for anyone coming off the highway, and we're part of the overall county plan for those alternate routes. So as difficult as it can be, and I know that residents get frustrated, and I get frustrated, and drivers get frustrated when they think they're getting off and cutting a few minutes off the trip, and it turns out to be a little bit longer. We've all been landlocked when a major accident happens on 78. And those are all, unfortunately, things that we deal with as a small community with a few major highways running through us. It's kind of like a river runs through it. We just have the highway that runs through it. Again, some of the other topics we're going to talk about in the coming months, we'll talk a little bit more about budgets because we're going into budget season for a lot of communities. We're also going into election season for a lot of communities. New Jersey's one of the only states that has an election every single year. So whether it's locally, we have seats up, or the state assembly is also up, that's also going to be going on. So I'm sure you're all going to be getting mailers and door knockers coming around and talking about, you know, what they want to do and what they're going to offer. And the joy and the beauty of our democratic process is that we do get a choice. And for that, we'll always be grateful. A couple of other topics that we'll probably be touching on over the coming months is, like I said, we'll talk about cannabis. We're probably still going to be talking about affordable housing. We'll be talking about the C1 designations and what that means. I am going to ask both our county clerk and a municipal clerk to join us 1 week to talk about what it is both of them, both their offices do, what services they provide, who you would go to for whatever the topic may be. We're going to ask them to join us. We're also going to have a couple of CFOs join us so that they can talk about their budgeting process within their communities, as well as, you know, what they know about at the state level. I'm going to hopefully, I'm going to put the request in for someone from DEP to talk to us about, you know, new rules coming down, some issues that, you know, residents should be aware of, as well as from Department of Community Affairs and local government services. So understanding how some of the topics they talk about are impacting local municipalities and government entities, both at the local and at the county level. And as always, I'm going to ask you, if you have topics you want to talk about, things you want to hear about, then this is the time. You know, send me an email, shoot me a message on Facebook. I'm pretty accessible, and I try to make sure I respond quickly. There's a lot of, you know, I'll get residents requesting information on a multitude of issues, but, you know, if there's something from your municipality, if you're not in the town of Clinton, you know, let me know so that this way we can reach out to your elected officials and ask them to join us and have a conversation. I'm hoping that we're going to see Mayor Muir from Bethlehem Township, Mayor Mazza from Union Township, as well as a couple of others, just to come in and have some discussions about how they do things, what's going on in their community versus how it impacts other communities, and again, how we all work together. Because while Clinton may be 1.3 square miles, we are a regional area, and what I do in Clinton can, or what we do in Clinton can impact what happens in another community as well. We're also going to have a conversation about the I-78/22 corridor. There's been a lot of discussions, and elected officials have been, you know, trying to talk about what makes sense, how do we work together, and how are we proactive in bringing businesses that we want to see that will revitalize our communities, that will provide jobs that are sustainable, provide living wages, and complement what we already have, because it's about keeping the charm of Hunterdon County, but also ensuring that there's opportunities for our residents to have employment and be able to have work-life balance and working closer to home versus further away from home. So with that, we're going to go to another set of commercials, and then we will come back and do our, you know, final 15 minutes or so. And again, you know, this is your time. This is your opportunity to talk about issues that are important to you. I am going to, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about New Jersey and the movie industry, movie and TV industry. So stay tuned and we'll have a little discussion about that.
Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabías que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NEMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NEMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de familia a familia está dirigido por miembros de NEMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NEMI está contigo y no hay salud.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC. Or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, so we're back. And the last few minutes, I'm just going to talk a little bit about New Jersey and the push to do more filming, both TV and movies, in New Jersey. Last year, the governor signed legislation that would allow for tax incentives, which allows companies to come in and receive financial benefits if they are filming and doing different pieces of the production in the state itself. New Jersey had been, so for those of you that didn't know, Fort Lee was the film capital back in the early movie times, I believe it was the 20s and the 30s. A number of films were done in Fort Lee. Obviously, Hollywood has become the new Mecca. Now Georgia and New Jersey is now adding itself to the list of tax incentives that will allow filming to come into our communities, whether for long-term or just location shoots. I know Hunterdon has been home to a number of films. Clinton has also been home to a number of films. And it's nice to know that they're coming back. Right now, I believe there's a bunch of filming going on in Patterson. There was some filming that was done in Jersey City and Newark for the movie The Joker. So if anyone goes to see The Joker when it comes out in October, you will. It'll be nice to know that some of that was done in New Jersey, and the benefits to New Jersey residents who are part of that community, as well as the employees that are residents of New Jersey and were able to work on the film and the production. So with that, it's kind of cool to see all these new projects coming in and the push for New Jersey, not to give away the store, but to at least be competitive. You know, New Jersey is a state that offers so many variables for a movie. You know, you can be at the beach, you can be in the mountains, you can be in a city, and you can be in a rural community. Any one of those instances, and it's nice to be able to say that New Jersey is right there along with all of the other states and pushing to bring filming. So stay tuned. We may start to see more stuff going on in Hunterdon and some of the surrounding counties as well. And if you're in the industry, you can go to the TV and Film Commission, the New Jersey TV and Film Commission website. You can sign up your services. So if you are a caterer and you're interested in doing craft services, you can sign up there. If you do pre-production, post-production work, you can also put your businesses out on the website so that as films are being considered for New Jersey and as they come in, you could be one of the ones that's called. Again, you know, there's nothing that says this all has to be in one part of the state. We are diverse, and we have the ability to provide multitude of sceneries for any number of the films that'll be coming out over the next couple of months. So stay tuned on that. And with that, we are going to begin to wrap up. Again, Janice Kovach, mayor for the town of Clinton, but also here to answer questions, address concerns, anything that, you know, you see or read about. If there's something that you want to know, if there's a topic of interest, you may not be the only one that has that interest, and we want to be able to talk about it. We want to be able to offer that service and break down the issues that impact our communities and provide balanced information so that you're getting, you know, regardless of which side of the aisle you fall on, and again, whether it be marijuana or affordable housing or any of the other pieces of legislation that can or will be coming down the pike in the next couple of months, we want to be able to make sure that you make informed and educated decisions and have educated discussions regardless. You don't have to be a proponent, but if you have all the information, it makes it easier for the either side of the discussion to take place, and so that we can have a conversation and not make it a screaming match. You know, ultimately, that's always been my goal in town, whether at a council meeting or in a town hall. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. We don't all have to agree, but we all have to be able to listen and to hear what our neighbors are saying and understand all the concerns that everyone has out there. We may not be able to fix everything or address everything, but we will do our best to ensure we've had the conversation, we've heard what you had to say, and try to get to a resolution. May not be the perfect resolution, but get to something that is palatable for everyone. So with that, I am going to go to my last commercial break, and then I'll put on the news. I will not be here next week. My daughter's getting married, and I'll be out with her, you know, getting her ready and getting her ceremony taken care of. But we will be back the last Monday in August, and every Monday thereafter, barring any emergencies. And hopefully, again, please reach out, let us know. You know, we're looking to expand this and expand the conversations to not just our specific experiences or instances, but what impacts all of you in Hunterdon County and beyond. So thank you again, and I will see you in or hear you in 2 weeks.
Financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're still looking into the cause of a tragic house fire that broke out in Erie, Pennsylvania early Sunday morning. The home being used is a round-the-clock daycare center. Five little children were killed, ranging in age from 8 months to 7 years. A friend of one of the victims, John Barkarski, says when he heard the news, he gave his own children a kiss.
When I seen this on the news in the morning, first thing I did, they were still sleeping yet, and I still picked them up and grabbed them, hugged them, and gave them a kiss.
Prosecutors say they're considering seeking the death penalty against an escaped Tennessee prisoner accused of murdering a prison administrator last week. Curtis Watson was recaptured yesterday morning in Henning after he was on the run for 5 days, accused of killing Tennessee Department of Corrections official Deborah Johnson. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends, I'm so appreciative of all of the things that you've done in patronizing MyPillow. So is Mike Lindell. You've built MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow and the inventor, wants to give back to you. You can get deep discounts right now on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener special. Maybe you want Giza Dreams bed sheets. Maybe you want a MyPillow of your own. Maybe you want a MyPillow to take with you on vacation. You go to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener specials. Use my promo code USA. And remember, you got nothing to lose. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener specials. You get deep discounts on all MyPillow products only if you use promo code USA. And by the way, you can call 1-800-951-8175 and get the same savings.
It's the 2-year anniversary of deadly violence at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, when a counter-protester was killed and dozens of others injured when James Alex Fields Jr. drove his vehicle into a crowd at the end of the rally. At least two investigations are underway into the death of convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein in a jail cell in New York City over the weekend. One of those investigations ordered by the U.S. Attorney General William Barr, White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway.
The Attorney General took action immediately when he learned of the death of Jeffrey Epstein. And
during her appearance on Fox News Sunday, Conway also responded to questions about President Trump's retweet of a conspiracy theory about the death of Epstein.
The president just wants everything to be investigated.
Epstein found dead in his jail cell at a federal lockup in Lower Manhattan of an apparent suicide. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The U.S. military identifying a soldier killed in Iraq over the weekend. Marine Gunnery Sergeant Scott Copenhafer died in northern Iraq while accompanying Iraqi forces fighting ISIS. He was 35 years old from Mancos, Colorado. The Pentagon explaining that his death came, quote, after being engaged by enemy small arms fire. An investigation is underway into his death. The NFL Steelers wide receivers coach unexpectedly died over the weekend. Darryl Drake was 62. Head coach Mike Tomlin saying Drake had a tremendous impact on him and also described him as an amazing husband, father, and grandfather. And former Pitt Panther and Arizona Cardinal Larry Fitzgerald wrote on social media he's heartbroken and couldn't put into words the impact that Drake had on him. Before the pros, he'd spent 8 years as a coach at his alma mater, Western Kentucky. Also as Georgia, Baylor, and Texas coaches, Drake was in his second year with the Steelers, having previously worked with the Cardinals and Bears in the NFL. No cause of death has been released. And the reclusive author J.D. Salinger's books are going digital, the late author's classic novel Catcher in the Rye among them. His son
is putting them up. And this is USA Radio News.
It's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at
908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're still looking into the cause of a tragic house fire that broke out in Erie, Pennsylvania early Sunday morning. The home being used is a round-the-clock daycare center. Five little children were killed, ranging in age from 8 months to 7 years. A friend of one of the victims, John Barkarski, says when he heard the news, he gave his own children a kiss.
When I seen this on the news in the morning, first thing I did, they were still sleeping yet, and I still picked them up and grabbed them, hugged them, and gave them a kiss.
Prosecutors say they're considering seeking the death penalty against an escaped Tennessee prisoner accused of murdering a prison administrator last week. Curtis Watson was recaptured yesterday morning in Henning after he was on the run for 5 days, accused of killing Tennessee Department of Corrections official Deborah Johnson. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends, I'm so appreciative of all of the things that you've done in patronizing MyPillow. So is Mike Lindell. You've built MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow and the inventor, wants to give back to you. You can get deep discounts right now on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener special. Maybe you want Giza Dreams bed sheets. Maybe you want a MyPillow of your own. Maybe you want a MyPillow to take with you on vacation. You go to MyPillow.com.